Welcome to Sales Burrito. I'm your co-host, Enrique Barreto. The importance of a career networking shouldn't be discounted when you're in the midst of a job search. Networking should become a part of your daily work and career-related endeavors. Your extended career network should be in place for when you need it, both for your job searching and for moving up in the career ladder. In this episode, we discuss how to build a network and to put to work for you. We have a special guest joining us today who will share his story on the success of networking in his career. So stay tuned to Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Welcome to Sales Burrito. The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the next episode of Sales Burrito. This is Dave Siles, and with me, as always, is my buddy Enrique Barreto. Hey, Enrique, how you doing?
Oh, my God. You actually did not roll the R's. It's Barreto.
I did not roll them this time.
You're getting better.
I'll blame it on the lack of coffee.
Listen, episode 4, you're getting better. It's all good, man.
Yeah, that's right. Episode 4. And it's a special episode because today we're having a guest join us. And so for those of you who are watching live on our YouTube channel, say hello to our special guest, Brandon Meyer. Brandon, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and thank you for having me. So you said this is a special episode. So am I your first guest?
You are the first guest.
You are. So. You're right. Oh. You are the special. Yes. So you better do good.
I do feel special. high expectations here. I hope I can live up to I can't even roll my R's. But the burrito.
No. Burritos for everyone.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are only listening on the audio portion, if you think about it, we've built a burrito on the screen here. So we've got myself, Brandon, and Enrique. But yeah, I'm very excited about this episode. Really, we're talking about the power of career networking and why, if you're not doing it today, you need to be doing it. You know, I think all three of us at some point in our career have leveraged our network, both for not only professional reasons, but for personal reasons. And really because of that, you know, I'm sitting here in the role I have all because of relationships I've had.
I'm sitting where I am because of you, David.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have Brandon on, because Brandon was one of my very first early hires that I took and brought over from the corporate world. And when I was running the global engineering sales teams at Veeam, we had a customer who was pretty maniacal about our product and was very honest about giving us critical feedback, but at the same time, mm-hmm. we didn't just complain, would actually give us feedback with constructive ideas on how we should fix it. And as we were expanding our team from a very small engineering team and decided to build out a sales organization, you know, we were gonna go hire traditional SEs, and we did obviously hire some traditional SEs, but at the same time, it gave us an opportunity to really go back and look and see what champions we had. If you remember our last episode, we're talking about champions, who really was there for us when we were building the company and had an opportunity to get to know them through the sales process. And Brandon kind of came on top of mind. And so at the time, Brandon and I both lived in Chicago, and I said, hey, maybe a little bit of a crazy idea, but you ever think about leaving the corporate world and getting out of the cubicle and getting in the world of sales? And I remember us having a good conversation about that. And Brandon was like, you know, I'm up for anything, but you think I'd be good at it? And I said, I wouldn't be asking if you didn't, right? Because I'm a firm believer, if you can identify the person who has those soft skills that, you know, really are the intangibles, you can teach anybody the technical side. But Brandon always had the technical side with it. And he took the leap, came over, and I don't know if he's ever gone back to a corporate job.
Oh, no. I will never go back to a corporate job. Never. Yeah. I actually remember during that interview, you had asked me, and this was early on in the iPhone days, you asked me, you know, what do you like better, the iPhone or the Android? And at the time, I think I was Android, and I liked to play with my toys and, you know, and root it and mess with it. And you had asked me that question. I kind of tried to sell you on the Android, and it, you know, I later found out talking to you about it is you didn't care what my answer was. You couldn't care less whether I liked iPhone or Android. It was how did I portray the value of what I thought was the best. So it's that has always stuck with me. I've always enjoyed being able to kind of learn from people that have, you know, always been there, you know, before me, and being able to understand that it's not necessarily what you're asking. It's, you know, it's how you respond. It's what's behind the response. It's not just the words that are said.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and I've used that example many times in my career. I mean, because you get some people that don't understand the technology that you may be selling, you know? Our inside SE team at Veeam, most of them, their first job ever in sales and technology period was going to be learning our product, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, asking them to relevate to, you know, virtualization or something along those lines would be like asking them to build a rocket and go to Mars.
Yep.
Right? You know, the question is, can you take a problem solve it and explain it? You know, so really it doesn't matter what the problem is. It's like, you know, could you do it? And so, right. Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, that's probably a whole nother episode, you know, interviewing techniques and, you know, how do you get past the
personality. Well, it's the skill and will, right? I mean, similar to you, right? When I'm looking at individuals that are outside the industry where I'm looking to hire, I will typically ask a question such as this. I'll say, you know, in the last year, what's the best book that you've read? And can you spend 1 minute about it? And what I'm looking when I ask that question is how creative that individual is. You know, I've gotten great answers from, you know, from manuals to different things. But the idea is does that person has the skill and the will to make it happen? That if I take a chance with that individual to train that individual in my product, that he has the drive to be from good to a great sales engineer.
Yeah. And that, you know, to kind of tie that back to today's topic, that really, I think, sticks with people as you're working with them. You know, how do they, you know, are you easy to work with? Because, you know, with networking, a lot of it is about, you know, does somebody like you? I mean, it really does come down. Do they like working with you? Are they willing to put their name on your reputation, or their reputation on your name, I should say? And so you need to be able to have those conversations and be able to articulate, you know, the problems that people are having, especially as a sales engineer. That's our main job, is to be able to take a customer's problem, mm-hmm. and find a solution for them. And if you can't articulate the problem, you can't come up with a good solution. So, you know, we're kind of that midway between the customer and the essentially the dev team, to be able to articulate both ways. And that really comes across as being able to easy to work with, and somebody that would want to then, you know, share your name going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point, right? I think, you know, who's in your network is just as important of how you use your network. You know, mm-hmm. I think something for the audience, I think, to think about is, you know, kind of who do you need to be pulling in your network, right? And, you know, obviously anybody you've worked with in the past, you know, coworkers, colleagues, your managers, supervisors, you know, those are always kind of, you know, those natural first tier people you want to pull in. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, just like how I hired Brandon, right? You know, past and present clients, you know, and customers. I mean, you know, people buy from people, and those people move on to different roles and different relationships. Sometimes they move into the industry themselves. And so having that relationship, you know, and always making sure that you took good care of them through the process, you know, having those people in your network, you know, absolutely becomes, mm-hmm. becomes key. I mean, in the old days, obviously, it was all what school you went to, what
yep.
fraternity where you were in, you know, the alumni side of it. Not saying that's still yep. not important, but it really, I think in today's world, that's really changed, right? It's down to, you know, who you've worked with, how you integrate with people in your business, and you know, even beyond that, you know, some of the people from your personal life. I mean, you know, Enrique and I, we obviously met each other through colleague side of the world, but you know, we've become pretty good personal friends as well. And mm-hmm. you know, our networks have mutually expanded because of that. And you know, maybe that's something that, you know, it's just testament to, you know, I think good people gravitate to good people.
Well, acquaintances from your personal life is important. I can tell you of several successful senior sales engineers that are SE managers that when I was a customer, you know, I was an IT manager at Talbot's for many, many years. You know, there was individuals there that acquaintance that you create on the customer side, you see their potential and they have thought, you know, I've made the purpose of my life to make sure that I'm teaching others, right? And I've actually promoted some of those individuals to roles that are in sales. And Brandon, to something that what you were saying, they'll never go back. Every time you talk about the customer side, they're not ever even thinking of ever going to the customer
side. No way.
Because this sales engineering job is special enough that once you go through the hurdles of the transition from the customer to the sales side, it's good. Now, you know, these different acquaintances can be colleagues that you're working. It could be people that you know from your spouse, from your family, people from your church, gym, yoga studios. I mean, I've been in situations where I've been in the gym and, you know, I'll be dealing with a fire. I'll be dealing with something and they're hearing me talking technical yep. about something. And sure enough, that individual say, hey, excuse me, I just heard you that you were doing this. And, you know, I count that as a blessing. I see, you know, someone is paying attention. Somebody is relating to me when it comes to that. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention you have the fact that hot yoga is one of your things you have in common.
Absolutely. Because there's nothing better than hot yoga for this body. You know what I'm saying?
At least you didn't correct me and say goat yoga. I was going to.
But you have your past teachers, you have present teachers, you have professors, basically anyone that you meet and that you can have a productive professional conversation about a career path is someone that meets that. Now, Dave, let me ask you this. And obviously you gave me an opportunity in 2014 to join, you know, you're the compounder of Data Gravity. So I join in, right? When you were recruiting people, what are some of the tips that you have that make others successful when it comes to networking?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I think in today's world, it's easy to click the, you know, invite to my network button on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point where, you know, I receive probably, I don't know, 100 a week and I'll accept maybe 10, right? Mm-hmm. I really try to obviously accept people that I've had some kind of professional relationship, even if it's been a customer in a customer meeting, just to show that gratitude and extension. But, you know, I really think you need to bring the right people into your network. So I always look for, you know, people that I've got a personal relationship with or have had a conversation with. If it's something where, you know, I'm looking for a mentor myself, you know, I reach out, I write the personal recommendation or request and I just don't hit the blind button and say, will you mm-hmm. connect with me? Right. You know, you got to make it personal. And, you know, one of the things that I say this all the time, and Brandon and I recently had a conversation about this, is people want to help people. They generally do. Mm-hmm. Right. But you got to be genuine about it as well. If there's no sincerity behind your request, then people, you know, it's easy to write it off. But when I write out and say somebody, especially on the mentor side, right? I mean, as we're building a company and starting a startup, you know, one of the things you have to do is go fundraise. And, you know, there are only so many people who will write you a check. And at some point, mm-hmm. you're going to have to go connect with VCs, right? And so in that side of the world, you know, asking for 5 minutes of their time to be able to run your idea through, you know, saying, this is why I want to use your time. This is what I'm looking to gain from you. Let me buy you lunch. Let me buy you coffee and have a knowledge exchange. But, you know, and you really got to take advantage of those outreaches, but make sure that you're also adding people that, you know, there's going to be a mutual exchange happening as well. I don't always ask. I give, I mentor back just as much as I ask for mentees. You know?
Yeah. You referred me over to a CEO of someone we used to know in the past, but he has since become CEO of a company, and you and I have known him from previously. But it was a fantastic conversation. You know, it was one of those things where you really need to go in there with an open mind for starters. You know, they're willing to give their time to you. You have to be willing to accept whatever they're going to tell you, whether it's what you want to hear or not. You have to be open to that, and that. For starters, I think, I don't know if you guys are ever going to do a mentor episode, but that's definitely something as a mentoree, looking for a mentor, you have to be willing to accept whatever criticism they're going to come back with you on. And during these networking conversations that I had with the CEO, it was absolutely fascinating. We got into the whys and what did you do about this? And, you know, I asked those other questions of, you know, did you ever feel, you know, like you couldn't do it? Do you ever have those down days? You know, we look at LinkedIn and Facebook and it's a curated positive reel of our life. You don't see the dips and everything because nobody wants to publish that. So it's one thing that when you're talking with your network is to be open and also, you know, reciprocate, just like David was saying, reciprocate and, you know, share, you know, some stories that you know, have impacted you and it might help them as well. But that's one of the things with my network I've really started to do lately is to just kind of be open and honest. And, you know, Dave, that early on asked if I was open to talking about a certain story. I said, absolutely, because your network is, it's going to give what you put into it.
That's right.
Because if you're not going to put the work into it, you're not going to get anything out of the network.
But you said something very interesting, which is giving something back to the network. This, you know, one of the main purposes of this show is to do that, right? We talk about the, you know, created biases, foresees. We talk about sharing the scary. We talk about all this stuff because ultimately it pays off. The junior inside sales engineer that may be listening this now, 10 years from now is going to be, could be an SE manager, could be an SE director, right? And in, if there's something that I know that I enjoy a lot is being able to mentor and being able to know that those individuals are making it on their own because they were able to pick something from me. That doesn't mean that they emulate. Nobody can emulate anybody, right? But if you're able to just pick something that is constructive, you're going to have that drive to be successful at what you do as a sales engineer.
Absolutely. I remember, so kind of, you know, what you put into it. You also have to kind of ask those hard questions of your network when you need it too. Mm-hmm. Kind of the catalyst that kind of made Dave kind of reach out and ask if I would do this episode was I recently became unemployed during COVID. And it was my network that got me a new gig that I'm starting on Monday. And so being able to reach out to the network and ask the hard question, hey, can you help me out here? Yeah, and it really, if you've put into it and you've nurtured it, those they'll be available when you are. And quite honestly, I feel, I'll use the word blessed, but I'm not religious, but I feel blessed that I was able to make this call and he was able to reach out to his network, which was another CEO. And then they were able to, you know, I went through the interview process just like everybody else, but it was, you know, that network that was the connection to the other company that is what essentially got me this new job in a time with, you know, 20% unemployment. You know, granted, I don't know what the numbers are for sales engineers. I know it's a lot less than the general population, but you know, it's a hard time right now. And I still can't believe that I was able to be able to, you know, find something so rapidly in a time like this, but it's because of that network, because if you care, people are going to care back. You know, just like you guys said, people genuinely want to help.
Well, Brandon, it comes down to this. Actions speak louder than words. The actions that you created in your progression of your career. Yes, you know, we talked about there's no such thing as luck, right? There has to be preparation, has to be all that. But the actions and the actual individual that you are combined with your networking got you up to where you are right now. So, you know, congratulations on that, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Luck is the ability to put yourself in the right situation at the right time.
Exactly.
That's true. I always say you create your own luck if you're good at it, right? Yeah. And I, you know, and to Brandon's point, I mean, you know, he even reached out obviously during the interview process and asked me if I would take a reference call. And, you know, Brandon and I haven't worked directly together in almost 10 years.
But it's been long.
Yeah, I know. Time flies, right? I think it flies. But at the same time, you know, the character that Brandon has and who Brandon is, you know, I had no problem taking that call. And, you know, and the person out there on the phone was really appreciative of the time that, you know, Brandon had somebody that was formerly a manager here and also now a personal friend that was willing to take that call. And you know, that just goes back to the having, you know, your network be really well-tuned as well, because, you know, every job will ask for references and you'll give the three or four that, you know, are going to give you a stellar reference. I can't tell you how many times I get contacted again through LinkedIn or through the, through a third party who are doing blind reference checking, right, on people who are connecting me in my network. And it's like, you know, yeah, and that candidate doesn't know that that's happening. They may, obviously, but, you know, it's just as important to have those relationships where people unprompted or unprovided will still stand up and say that same conversation. So, you know, if it had gone the other way and, you know, this person that was doing the referencing for Brandon had found me through the network and it just asked me blind me to give a recommendation for Brandon, would have got the same recommendation, right? And that's kind of the integrity of what you need to have in your network. And, you know, so it's not just, you know, who you know, but who you want to be known to and how do you want to be received. And that's just a critical piece of building on a very powerful network. You know, I think at the you know, at the end of the day, I mean, the social world has kind of changed, you know, how we do networking. And I think one of the things that we lack sometimes in the industry is that interpersonal networking. You know, so I'm always still a big fan. And if you can get to a conference, if you can get to a user group, you have the opportunity to go to a speaking engagement, you know, even if it's a stretch outside your comfort zone, you know, take it, right? I mean, you know, Enrique was sharing the story about the yoga studio, and while I don't have one on the yoga side of the equation, I can tell you I've built some pretty serious networking and some really good not only connections in my network but business opportunities just by talking to my seatmate who stuck with me for 4 hours on a plane, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be some of the most interesting, fascinating people, and especially if you're traveling in the middle of Weir Creek when you know they're just business warriors and get a chance to kind of not just put your headphones on and unplug, be able to find out who they are. And so...
Namaste. Yeah. Namaste, Dave Klaus. Namaste.
I will fully admit I am an introvert in that I am not that person to just spark up a conversation with my seatmate on the plane. I am the person who will put my earbuds in and just fly quietly. I have too much anxiety about starting a conversation. Just it's a self-doubt thing. It's that, but it's just one of those things. I'm not that person to do that.
Listen, I'm an introvert as well. I think it was on our first episode where I mentioned that I was an introvert, but I had to learn to be an extrovert. The position, you know, when you're a sales engineer, you're put in the limelight, you're put in the spotlight, and you have to present, you have to do all that. Yep. So, but there's times that when you're doing that 40, 50, 60 hours a week, when I get home, I just shut down. It's like, I'm an introvert. So yeah. I get your point.
Yeah. That anxiety actually, it that's what actually I think makes me a better sales engineer. Cause when I go to speak in front of a customer, I have the anxiety that they're going to ask me a hard question. I'm not going to know. That just makes me prepare even more. Mm-hmm. So when I'm as a sales engineer, I'm trying to understand that product as best as I can because I don't know what question I'm going to get asked, and I don't want to be the person that goes, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm okay with saying, let me get back to you if it's a really hard question, but I don't want to be stumped by an easy one that I probably should have known. That anxiety is what helps me do that.
I call it structure paranoia. You have to be.
Ooh, I like that.
You have to be. You have to have that paranoia to know that. You have to anticipate every move, knowing, which is the reality, that the audience, the minute that you walk to that room, it only takes a minute for the audience to know that you're a subject matter expert. Right. Sometimes sales engineers saying, yes, you have to be prepared, overly prepared, right?
Yep.
But then the reality is the large audience, the large amount of prospects, when they see you walking, they're already assuming that you know.
Yeah. And that's why I try to tell people, because what's weird is I absolutely love public speaking. Absolutely love it. I love getting up on stage and talking to people because they're listening to me. They're there because I know more than them. So to me, that's actually where other people get anxiety about it. That's where it takes the anxiety goes away from me, because I know they're there to learn it. And yeah, you'll get those couple people that try to think they're smarter than you, and maybe they are. Mm-hmm. And good for them. They can go be smarter. I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I'm in the wrong room if I am. So I want to be able to share my knowledge and then learn from other people as well. So I love those situations, but you get me one-on-one in a plane, I'm going to shut down. It's really weird.
I'll leave that as my personal challenge to you to grow yourself as you, well, whenever we're flying again, right? I can't say we're going to fly anytime soon, but yeah, you know, it's just something that I think it just helps, right? And you're not going to do it every single flight, but you just find the most interesting people. And it's just one of those things where I think, you know, the old interpersonal communication skills don't go away, even though we're in a more digital connected world. That's something that I think the people that can master that, you know, they have a leg up on the competition.
Right? You guys can choose whether or not you want to cut this piece out, because I'm going to reference a good book, but there's actually an F word, and I won't say the full thing. But there's a great book called Un-F Yourself, and it's about getting out of your head and that anxiety of, you know, everybody's looking at me. No, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares that much about you to where everybody's looking at you. They're thinking about themselves just like you are.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in there, and I would highly recommend that book to anybody that kind of has that inner voice that's always telling them that they can't do something or don't do that. It might, you know, you might be embarrassed or something. It's a fantastic book. I don't remember the author's name, but it's Un-F Yourself, fully spelled out. Fantastic. Listen to the audiobook. The guy is hilarious. The author actually does the voiceover, and he is freaking hilarious with his British accent too.
Awesome.
I'm definitely getting it.
And we'll link it in the show notes. We'll find it. And I'll
send it over to you.
Link it out. So, and, awesome. Thanks for that recommendation. Well, Brandon, you know, it's been an absolute blast to have you to join us today. And obviously you're our first guest. And so, yeah,
I appreciate it.
You always been the first fun. And you know, I hopefully won't be the last. You know, our goal is to
anytime
continue to bring in additional people, but how can our audience listening in want to stay and maybe connect with you and grow your network, reach out for you? What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can on LinkedIn. It is, I'm trying to pull up my, I don't even know what my thing is. It's bmeyer99. That's my, you know, LinkedIn/in/bmeyer99. That would be the best way. Go ahead and just connect with me. I do highly recommend, as David does with others, is, you know, put that little personal message in there, mention the show, and I'll absolutely accept that connection, and you can, you know, get a hold of me that way.
All right, great. We'll link Brian's LinkedIn in the guest notes, and we really appreciate you having you here.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Obviously, we are going to have this episode published. It'll be both now on not only our podcasting platform, we are also cross-posting these now to YouTube. And one of the things that we've realized is that, you know, one burrito a week is good, but two burritos a week is better. So we have a personal challenge that we're going to put out to our subscribers here.
That's right.
We want to get our social media channels up to 1,000 people here, and we want to try to do it in the next 5 episodes. So when we get to 1,000 subscribers on Twitter and 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, we're going to give away essentially a burrito a week for a year. All right. And so we have a promotion that's coming together. As this podcast goes live, those details will be available on salesburrito.com. In addition, we want to help other people who are maybe going through a downturn in the industry find new careers. So we're launching the Candidate Spotlight. That'll be launching with this podcast as it drops. And we will have those details on salesburrito.com. But if you want to be featured in an upcoming episode, essentially fill out that form, submit your 3-minute or less video of your sales pitch of yourself, and we'll feature you in an upcoming episode.
Exactly right. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, obviously. But until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing. Have a great day, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed this Sales Burrito Show. Subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook @Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going.